everybody. Stormy Mitchell along with Terry Merrill. It is a dark, it is a rainy, it is a dreary, but it is a December night. And the good news, Terry, tomorrow is the shortest day of the year. That means we turn the corner and days start getting longer. But right now we're at Stroud's doing Coach's Corner.
Roll the shades up, light. We're going to have daylight for, 30 seconds beginning tomorrow or the next day?
I don't know. I tell you what, if you blink, you'll miss it.
Stormy, the rain has not kept people away here from Stroud's. I got here to the, I pulled in the line for the to-go window is back behind the building.
Yep.
And just more, a great example of nobody's going to stay away from Stroud's when they get hungry. And this is a place, feed four for $15.99. And we will add, by the way, to our listeners, they will be closed Monday and Tuesday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, by the way.
Which they should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which they should be. But hey, we had a big crowd here early. They heard me start to talk and they all left. I don't know why. Of course, that's happened most of my life, but no, I'm kidding.
Right.
People come in and out of Stroud's. If you're on the way home, you're listening, go, man, I want to go to the drive-thru. They can get your order ready in advance. 615-595-0200. That's 595-0200. Call them and say, hey, let me get me one of those loaded baked potatoes. I understand that's a special today on Thursdays. Or you get the barbecue plate. Or Terry, what's your standard?
Tell me, I've been going lately with the chicken plate with some baked beans and coleslaw. Outstanding.
Hard to beat.
No doubt. And we'll remind all of our listeners, too. You and I are going to take a little bit of break. Christmas week next week.
We are.
We won't be here next week, nor will we be here the following week, which is the New Year's week. But we will be back on, let's see, that would be the 10th, I believe. Is that right?
We're going to look it up. Just to make sure, because I don't want to be bummed.
Whatever that Thursday is.
It is the 10th of January. But, hey, for all listeners, now we're going to, tomorrow night, we've got a ball game tomorrow night. We're going to Brentwood. We've got the Page Patriots going to tackle the Brentwood Bruins. We're going to, matter of fact, speaking of that, we've got the Lady Bruins, coached by Miles Thrash, coming in tonight. Three of them, Amelia Osgood, Emily, and Delaney Trucial, the twins. And Terry, I'm going to see if you can tell them apart. I can't, so I'll see if you can.
Only when I look at their numbers on the uniforms.
They may not be wearing uniforms tonight, so you may
be trouble. They will.
But as a reminder, we will be back during the game of the week, January the 4th. Matter of fact, we're going to have Summit at Brentwood on January the 4th. We will be back. We'll have a game on the 8th, the 11th, the 15th, the 18th, so on and so on and so on. Hey, we've got Crystal King on the board, and I sure appreciate her being there in Studio A tonight. Always does a fabulous job for us. And young lady can go to YouTube or go to Facebook, look her up. Young lady can let it. She can wail. I'm telling you, a girl can sing. But we're going to have a great time tonight. Terry, I know you've got a long list over there. You've got some recruiting news for the UT Vols. You've got basketball news. I'm going to hush and let you take
it. No, Stormy, you can't hush. I can't do this by myself. But anyway.
I'm just slow down.
You mentioned UT football recruiting. The Volunteers moved up to number 16 this week. And as you may know, the early recruiting is going on right now. It ends tomorrow, the early recruiting period or signing period. And just this afternoon, in case you're on your way home from work, you've been, out of town or whatever, it's a big day today because three-time Mr. Football Eric Gray from Lausanne.
Lausanne.
Memphis. And also a two-time Gatorade Player of the Year. But he has signed with Tennessee Vols after being committed to Michigan's Wolverines for 5 months. Stormy, a few months ago, and he just decided he wanted to play closer to home. So Jeremy Pruitt really didn't back off during all that time, even though he had been committed. So this is a big deal. This is a big signee here for Tennessee.
He will do much better at UT than he would at Michigan because Jim Harbaugh, first of all, can't beat the Ohio State. Jim Harbaugh has been a major disappointment. He's 0-7 against the Ohio State. Frankly, to be honest with you, he won't be there after next year anyway. So Mr. Eric Gray from Lausanne did a wise thing to go with the balls. Congratulations, Coach Pruitt. I think the 17th ranked class. People go, wait a minute, we used to be in the top five. Well, let me tell you something. Butch Jones was recruiting the guys in the top five that one had no character, no class, and were not teachable. Vanderbilt, by the way, is averaging in the 40 to 49 range, and they beat Tennessee like a redheaded stepchild the last 3 years. It's not about who you recruit. It's about how you coach them up, and I guarantee it, Jeremy Pruitt's going to coach them up.
And with the signing of Eric Gray, they're number 16 16 now, and that makes, I believe, 9 SEC teams, if I'm not mistaken, in the top 20 recruiting so far.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is amazing, amazing. But anyway, congratulations, and we look forward to watching him play. Man, he had a high school career that not many people can say they had. Amazing.
Well, anytime you're three-time player of the year, I mean, that's unprecedented.
Mr. Football.
That's unprecedented.
It is unprecedented. It's the first time it's ever been done.
I mean,
first time.
I don't even remember. Who did we have a two-time?
Probably so. I'd have to look back, but, you know, I'm sure there have been.
I'm breaking the files right now, and I can't even remember somebody doing a two-time.
Well, I'd have to look.
Unless it's maybe a lineman. I bet you know who would know. It'd be the guru.
The guru would know, yeah. Yeah, we could look that up real easy, actually.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. Jeremy, while we're on the high school here, we're going to talk our college bowls in a minute, but let's talk last Friday night over at Ravenwood, a game you did with Ravenwood Brentwood. It was a big night for a young man who led the Ravenwood Raptors. Junior quarterback Brian Garcia was officially named the Trophy House Gateway Tire Player of the Year, and we had a ceremony over there for him, and what a great year he had. He led the Raptors all the way to the semifinals to Whitehaven, where they fell a little bit short. But Storm, if you're Matt Daniels, you're licking your chops because he is only a junior. He threw for 2,700 yards this year, 33 touchdowns, and scored a total, actually, of 39 touchdowns. Great kid, just very humble, gives credit to all of his offensive linemen, and a great football player, and we congratulate him for that award.
He is one of the most versatile athletes we've had the pleasure. Reminds me of a Garrison Murphy, an Andy Shumpert type, but he's because of his versatility. He is an all-star shortstop, played on the Goodlettsville Little League World Series champion team when he was 12, along with Robert Hassel Jr. This kid, I don't see him playing at the next level, maybe due to his size, because he's 5'9", maybe 165, soaking wet. But the kid has got a cannon for an arm, and his intuitiveness on the baseball field and the football field is what sets him above most players. He's just a smart, smart player.
And you know, Stormy, you saw him a few times this year. I know, and it amazes me. He has a knack for bringing his team from behind. He plays his best when the chips are down.
Yeah.
And you can't you can't manufacture that.
The more the pressure,
yeah.
I mean, he's like a good lump of coal. The more pressure put on him, he turns into a diamond.
And listen, while we're on that, Matt Daniels won't come out and say it. Think about this. Ravenwood has 19 starters back, a junior-oriented team this year that'll return next year. So look out for Ravenwood on the football field.
Watch Shane Craig, number 7, is split in. Also watch number 11, the Shouse kid, Luke Shouse. He as a junior this year, he sat right in that chair, 6'6", 240, as a junior. And the kid hadn't even begun to fill out. This guy, my word. And he said, oh, yeah, they're predicting another maybe 2 inches for me to grow at minimum. Kid could put on 50 pounds, 60 kids, carry it with no problem.
No but question.
They're going to be, yes, put it down, preseason favorites, he tried to say.
There's no doubt about it. They'll be picked high all across the state, I would think.
Yes, sir.
No doubt about it. So anyway, congratulations to Ryan Garcia. Stormy, doing okay on the bowl games? We got more starting tonight.
We've had some bowl games that we never even heard of.
Well, get a load of this. We'll go through those through the weekend, I guess. We've got the Gasparilla Bowl tonight.
I had Gasparilla once. It took Tums for it. No, that's not true.
Well, there are several things you could take for that. But anyway, tonight it's down at St. Petersburg, Florida. That game on ESPN at 7 o'clock. Marshall, a 2.5-point favorite over South Florida. And I don't know, South Florida, that's sort of a home game for them.
But yeah, but the Thundering Herd's going to show up in mass.
Very true.
Thundering Herd's going to show up big time.
They're 8-4, South Florida 7-5, and that's one of those, I think, sort of where you can maybe toss a coin.
Well, I went with the Thundering Herd because I know I've just got a feeling because we are Marshall, man. We are Marshall.
We are Marshall. Well, tomorrow, two games, by the way, as we head toward Christmas, so the Bahamas Bowl, and that wouldn't be a bad bowl to go to in Nassau.
Oh, man.
Toledo, 6-point favorite over FIU, and that's Lane Kiffin, I believe, right?
Yes.
FIU?
Yeah.
That game will be 11:30 tomorrow. There you go, Stormy. Something for you to do tomorrow.
I'm busy.
Toledo's favored by 6. Tomorrow night, it's the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Now, don't get too excited.
I would.
Western Michigan. facing off against BYU, and BYU is a 12-point favorite.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that game tomorrow at 3 o'clock on ESPN.
Go Joe Critchlow.
But it gets better. Okay. That's right. Joe Critchlow may be the starter next year for BYU. We'll see. Saturday, we've got four bowl games. The Birmingham Bowl. It so happens I'll be around, but not for that game. Memphis, there you go, your Tigers.
The alma mater.
Take on Wake Forest. Tigers are a 5-point favorite. That game tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I'm sorry, Saturday at 11 o'clock.
I thought they tore Legion Field down.
Well, they just kind of reduced the size.
What did they do? Get duct tape and put those columns back together?
I think basically they removed the upper deck for the most part. Yeah.
I mean, that is.
You've got maybe 30,000.
Did they ever replace that field? That field was it?
You mean the surface?
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine they've got some artificial turf on it.
Like, yeah, but they used to have some AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Could be.
We'll see. But it went from 75,000 down to about 30, so I'm told. And they still play. I think UAB plays some games.
UAB raised from the dead. They were literally out of business 2 years ago. They did not win a ball game last year, and they won the Conference USA this year.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
That's an amazing
Bill
story.
Bill Clark is the coach down there.
Mm-hmm.
He should get Coach of the Year.
You're right. That's an amazing story right there, without a doubt. Great job, and they're really excited down there. Armed Forces Bowl, it's a 2:30 Saturday. Houston and Army. The Cadets are a 3-point favorite.
I hope Army runs them down that field, running that wishbone.
Navy's 9-2. They got a good football team, Stormy, and we'll see. That's going to be, I think, a close game.
I do too.
Dollar General Bowl in Mobile later Saturday afternoon at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite over Troy, better known as Troy State.
I got to be honest with you. I looked at that, and I went with Buffalo, but I think Troy State's going to win that bowl.
It's sort of a home game.
I'm going to check it off. That's going to be one I'm going to regret.
That's a tough pick. It is.
I'm going to regret that. Write it down.
But who knows about bowl games? We've seen it makes no sense.
This is like hunting in the dark.
It is. Well, that's what bowl time is all about. By the way, Stormy, congratulations. If you saw the Williamson Herald this morning, you now have a one-game lead in the football picking contest.
And
that's
coming rapidly
to a close.
You know how quickly one game can evaporate.
Oh, yes. Especially if you're in the bowls.
Because we picked 20 of them. But the good news is, my closest competitor, we differ on three. So the worst I can be after this week, the worst I can be is two games down.
That's right. But I don't see that happening. I think you're beginning to put on, you know,
four
on the coals.
Terry, we're not going to count our chickens and kill their hats and fry it on the table.
I remember one year when I was like six games down going into the last day.
Yep.
And we ended up with a tie. So you just never know.
Well, I was three down last year going to last and won by two.
Yep, that's right. Just goes to show you.
I put the Miles Thrash full court press defense on them.
It ain't over till it's over. Here's a good bowl. Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu, Saturday night at 9:30. Louisiana Tech against Hawaii.
You know the bad part about Louisiana Tech?
Yeah.
It's going to take them 24 hours to fly there. You can't get there from here.
Well, they can get a nonstop from where would they fly out of?
Houston? Yeah.
Would they? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's about a 10-hour flight.
I can only ascertain that Hawaii is a 1-point favorite because it's basically a home game for them, right? That is a trip that will take it out of you, as you well know.
Yes. No, going's not that bad.
That's exactly right.
Coming back is hell on earth.
It is a nightmare.
I'll be fine. It took me a week to get over there.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. So, the day after Christmas on the 26th, after you're getting over your turkey and chicken, steaks.
I'm having steaks.
Okay.
I'm drilling out.
Well, I should have known. We've got the Shreve Pro First Responder Bowl.
That used to be the Poulon Weed Eater.
I think so. It's in Shreve. Check that. No, it's in Dallas. Boston College against Boise State. Boise State's a 3-point favorite. Then you've got the Quick Lane Bowl later on the 26th. Minnesota's Golden Gophers against Georgia Tech. Yellow Jackets are 4-point favorite. They got a new head coach down there, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. Sort of a limbo situation. And then the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix. It's a pick'em. California and TCU under Gary Patterson. That's at 8 o'clock the 26th that night. So there you go.
Wait a minute. The Cheez-It Bowl, like
Cheez-It
Bowl. Crackers.
Yep, exactly.
So we're going to have cheesy commercials during the Cheez-It Bowl.
You'll probably see a box or two of Cheez-Its. I would say so. you want me to go the next day?
Oh, why not?
Are we good? Okay. On the 27th now, 2 days after Christmas, that would be what, next Thursday, I guess. Yeah. Now, here's the one you were thinking about, Stormy, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport.
That's Weed On, Poulon, Weed Eater.
It's basically Independence Bowl now. There's no Weed On, Poulon. Temple takes on Duke and David Cutcliffe, 12:30. And Temple's a three-point favorite. Now, their head coach just left to go to Georgia Tech, so we'll see what happens there.
I never pick against Coach Cut.
No,
never,
you can't.
Never pick against David Cutcliffe.
Absolutely not. Then that afternoon, we moved to, we're talking on Thursday, by the way, the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx. Miami under Mark Richt will be a four-point favorite over the Badgers of Wisconsin at 4:15 that afternoon. And then the Texas Bowl that night, all you Commodore fans, Vanderbilt travels to Houston, take on Baylor. Sort of a home game there for Baylor, you would think. But Vandy's a 3.5-point favorite.
You thought about that game because, you know, Baylor has kind of been coming back from the dead since Art Briles left. And they're starting to play pretty good ball. But Vanderbilt's defense, I think, can shut out that Baylor offense.
Yeah, I think so. Vandy, if their defense is playing, they can just play with anybody. We'll see. They're 3.5-point favorites. And the next Friday, you've got the Music City Bowl here in Nashville, Purdue and Auburn. Stormy, that ought to be a pretty good football game. Auburn's a 4-point favorite under Purdue, and that game's at 12:30 at Nissan Stadium.
Don't you think that spread is a little on the short side?
You mean low?
Yes.
Sort of, but you know, Purdue has a reputation this year playing well against good teams. I'm not advocating Auburn's necessarily one of your premier teams, but
you just made some very good fans.
I like Jeff Brohm. I do.
I think he's a fabulous coach.
There's no doubt.
And T.J. Sheffield from Independence is going to be playing for him next year, and what a coup they got getting him.
What a better situation offensively for T.J. Sheffield than to play with a coach like Brohm who likes to throw the football. Absolutely.
Man, that kid's going to play the XX slot, and he's going to be flying up downfield. Hey, well, the good news is the ladies have entered the building.
Three of them, actually.
We want them to go up there and tell them they're with us, and they're going to place their orders. They can eat all they want. They get something to drink. Coach, you can do the same.
Now, do we want to have Coach on first? After we take a break.
We're going to get the ladies to go and place their orders so they can have some good chow because they look hungry.
We'll take a break, Storm, and then we'll come back with Coach Miles Thresh.
Crystal, let's take 1 minute if you don't mind. We'll take one quick minute. This is Sports and Coach's Corner here on AM 950. It's a beautiful Thursday evening if you like dark, dreary, cold, rainy, cloudy December night. It's always pretty when we're in clouds because we're going to order some barbecue in a minute, Terry. We're going to get the chow down, but right now the Lady Bruins are up in line. They're placing the orders. I'm wondering which one's going to get the burrito, which one's going to get the nachos, and which one's going to get the barbecue plate. We'll find out here shortly.
We will, Stormy. And I didn't ask you. You got 4 Christmas shopping days left. Are you done?
Oh, I've been done for two, three weeks.
Mr. Organization.
Hey, man. Well, no. You know, it's just, you know, you start the layaway in last February. You get it paid off. Get it paid off in November. I mean, you know, that $200 took forever to pay
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. You mean Kid Rock didn't pay that off? For you?
No. No. But I tell you what, we don't need to have to pay it off because we got Coach Miles Thresh here. I'm telling you, who's averaging 30 points a ball game. And Terry, as you well know, that's 28 ball game more than I ever scored.
Yeah, I have heard that on quite a few occasions.
Unfortunately, it didn't take many fingers to add up me in the book. Right. I was like, well, he had to. Well,
but on a closer to home, and Will, he's modest about his hobby of basketball, but we're going to talk about the Brentwood Lady Bruins here first. Coach Thresh, 10-2, 4-1 in the district, I believe that's right, but last Friday night, you lost a tough one to Ravenwood, 42-37, and then on Saturday night, you bounced back with a good win over Hillsborough. Tell us about Friday night, first of all. Let's start with Ravenwood. Tell us about how you thought your team played and what you learned from that game.
Yeah, well, Friday night, I thought, you know, always playing Ravenwood, we know the magnitude of that game. It's going to be very high intense, you know. Kids want to play well, and it's such a big emotional game, and I think that got the best of us. You know, we weren't focused like we should have been, and I think the emotions part of it played in a big way the way we played. Now, that's not to take any credit away from Ravenwood. I thought she did a tremendous job with her game plan, and they slowed us down a lot. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering, I was going to ask, because I was going to ask the twins, did they have an argument for the game? I mean, they were making the usual crisp passes to each other, and their shots were off. I thought, it just looked, but I just, oh, they're looking at me now I'm in trouble. No, it looked like they were just, I mean, it was a huge crowd, it was just a big moment, and sometimes the heart starts racing, the shot's a little strong, and I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, you can let the emotions get the best of you in a game. like that where you want to go out and do so well, you know, and it just takes one little thing to get you all focused. And I think early on in that game, a couple of turnovers got us off, you know, not to take away from Ravenwood. They play well.
You mentioned, I think I saw a quote in the paper on the next day or so, the Ravenwood defense, they put a lot of pressure on you. And you probably would say your team didn't shoot their best, and maybe that works together. But what do you learn from a game like that, and what did you bring back in the Hillsborough game on Saturday night after the Friday night game?
Well, to reach our ultimate goal this year is to try to get to the state tournament, meaning you're going to have to win games like that. And you're going to have to be in games like that. And I thought we really learned a lot from that game, to where when shots aren't going in, there's something else you got to do. And when in doubt, you always can defend, you know, and get to the free throw line. I don't think we did a good job of adjusting. And me as a coach especially, I didn't put them in a position where they can adjust to that. So, yeah.
Well, how comforting was it to have another game that Saturday night game with Hillsborough, knowing you could, okay, get that, it's like brush your teeth, get that bad taste out of your mouth. How important was that to yourself?
That was really important, especially for a young team. You know, I thought it would have affected us a lot more had we had four or five more days before the next game. You know, with my team being so young, and, you know, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants sometimes, you know, and it's, you know, we prepare hard, but at the same time, we still trying to make sure we gain experience. And by having that next game, that really helped us a lot, because, you know, it's right after the out of the speech after the locker room, it's focused on the next game, and that played a big role in us having the next game.
And this week has been exams.
Yes.
And no game Tuesday, in which Terry says, what'd you do Tuesday night? I'm going, I don't even know. First Tuesday night I've had off in forever. I think I sat home and learned a new song, but I was so glad y'all got to play Saturday night. But then again, you got to reload after kind of having a week, not a week off with exams. You got Paige coming in, and we had two sisters, speaking of sisters, the Wilkins sisters sat right here, Faith and Lily, and I got to tell you something, that's a pretty little tandem there. I know you've seen them. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they're a great tandem. They're well coached, of course. You know, Coach Brock, he's been around a lot, and he knows a lot of basketball, and he's seen a lot. So they'll be well coached, they're well prepared, and plus they're talented. They're a very talented team. They're similar to us in a lot of ways. I watch them and study them on tape. You know, they can shoot it well. They try to force you into turnovers. They really play up fast. So I'm really looking forward to that kind of a challenge, because I think once you start to hit to end of February, March, and you want to make that playoff run, those are the teams you got to be able to compete with, and those are the kind of styles you got to play to play. So, yeah.
And when you mentioned, Terry, one quick thing, when you mentioned how young your team is, I mean, you've got a sophomore, two sophomores are starting, Ralston, Osgood, and then two juniors, and I'm trying to think who the other girl is, because you've been switching out Chloe Wampler and some, and she a senior?
Chloe's a sophomore.
Chloe's
a
sophomore.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Three sophomores, two juniors.
Okay. Well, Terry, the future is now, but the future is really bright.
Yeah, it's really bright, and we got some younger girls coming along, too, but, you know, even with the twins being juniors, I tell them, I put them in a position, right, now that they've probably ever been in, you know, they've asked to take on a big responsibility leadership role, and, you know, and that comes with experience, and they don't have that much of experience to be in that role, but so they're learning on the fly as well. So, I mean, they've done a tremendous job at adjusting in it, because they're really, really learning. They learn a lot, and they focus on the game. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that too.
Even though they were young, even though they're still young, of course they were younger last year as freshmen and sophomores. Is it different when you have a team, and I'm not discounting what you said, but they are more experienced than last year. Is it different when you start the season knowing you had everybody back and the experience that they brought to the table, even though they are still a young basketball team?
Yeah, it's a big help to have everybody returning, you know, and, you know, certain things we don't have to go over as much. Certain details we shouldn't have to put in as much. And that kind of put us ahead of a lot of teams where they have to come in and place their, you know, their organization and how they want to run it or whatever. So we kind of pretty set on how we are. We added a few little things here and there. But, yeah, it feels great to be able to have everybody coming back.
And Ralston playing in the paint. Last year, and I said this to Garth on there, I said, she didn't play with the timidity she played with last year. She's playing a whole lot. stronger in the paint. Her defensive prowess.
Yeah, she's been a force for us inside, and I don't think a lot of teams look at us and think inside present. Well, she makes a difference. She's standing at about almost 6'2" tall. You know, she's long, she's rangy, she's athletic. You know, and just because she don't score a lot doesn't mean she doesn't contribute a lot to the game. For our team and the way we're constructed, we don't ask for her to do that much offensively. However, she can. And, you know, I just want to make sure I simplify it as much as I can with her being young and just play with her strength. So instead of putting in a system, I make sure I implement things around her strength.
Well, speaking of length, you got the twins, and then Amelia is really, she's really growing. And then you've got Sophie Lawson. And when y'all play that zone press, it looks like you've got eight people out there. I said one night, I said, Gar, you and I couldn't, with five of us, couldn't break that press. He goes, you're right. I mean, that's got to be really formidable for a team to look at.
Yeah. Well, Amelia has done a lot. She's grown a lot physically. She's gotten a lot taller. And I joke with them all the time. Last year when I came in the huddle, I was looking down at them. Well, now I look up at basically everybody. That's a good problem to have. So, you know, they've grown a lot. And you know, we want to use that to their strength. So, you know, different defenses, different schemes we want to use toward their strength.
Well, you said the twins had to be the leaders. Which one's the most vocal of the two?
Right now, they're both about the same right now. They both done a tremendous job with just a lot of the little things, you know, being encouraging to the younger girls and just kind of picking people up and put them under their wing. You know, some of the things that they didn't get much of, you know, by being in the position they had to come in. You know, so it's really refreshing to see them step in on that leadership role like that.
Coach Miles Thrash joins us. Brentwood girls and Paige is tomorrow night. Big doubleheader at Brentwood.
Stormy, I'm going to tell you something.
Stormy and Garth on the call?
I saw that. I went, we're doing that game.
Coach, we know your starters, but tell us about some of the players. Everybody knows, as you mentioned a while ago, down the stretch, you need more than your starters. You got to have a bench. You got to have kids that come off the bench for whatever reason and contribute. Can you give us some of those folks that you count on to do that right now and how that looks, you know, as you head down the stretch?
Yeah, we got some bench guys that come in, you know, we expect a lot from them, you know, and some of them hadn't been having a really good start early on in games, but they're coming along now. A.C. Stockhouse, he's our backup point guard. She's shooting lights out. She's like a little pit bull. We call her our pit bull, you know, and she's gaining a lot of confidence right now. I anticipate her starting to have a tremendous season as we get to this second part. We also have Haley Hannah. She's a freshman,
42,
probably the most athletic girl on our team and one of the most athletic girls in the school. You know, right now she's just starting to feel in and get comfortable with playing and understanding facing and understanding the speed of the game, you know. And, you know, lastly, we have, of course, we got Emma Glenn, you know. She's our grandma, we call her. We tease her about it being the older girl, the only senior on the team. You know, she's got a lot of experience, and you know, she's going to come in, and she's always ready to knock down shots for us. And she knows that's her role, and that's what we got.
So she's not afraid to pull the trigger. She came in, I can't remember which game it was. She came in one night off the bench just halfway through the second quarter. Hadn't taken a shot in 25 minutes. Came up. Terry hit three threes in a row. I went, and I can't, you just shake your head. If you're a coach and you're coaching inside, you go, wait, where'd she go?
Yeah, she's capable of doing that, you know. In some games, she step in as a starter for us sometimes if we have somebody down. And she's a big part of what we do. And, you know, and when teams want to try to pack it in on us and, you know, get off of our post and force us to beat her from the outside, well, we're okay. We're bringing her in, and she has a tremendous amount of confidence, and we believe in her when she shoots as well.
Terry, to refresh my bad memory, what was the little point guard they had about 3 years back? We called her the little toot. She had a real attitude.
At Brentwood?
Yes. Just think about that.
Okay,
A.C. Stockoff reminds me of her. She kind of comes on that court and is like, okay, I'm here now. Just look out.
I'll try to look that up.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to remember that young lady's name, but she played with a bad back 1 year. Just had, we called the little tooth because she had a big attitude. Really fun to watch.
Coach, Saturday night, it's sort of like last weekend, you go to Nolensville Saturday night to play a very good basketball team. I think you beat them by six back in November, I believe.
You did that game, by the
way. Yep, that's right, you did. How do you see them coming along since you played them last time? And also, how do you feel about a Friday, Saturday night back-to-back game, just like you had last weekend.
This will be probably one of our toughest back-to-back stretches by playing Page, a really, really good team, and then coming right back and playing Nolensville, which, you know, I think Nolensville will make a run at the state tournament with that team. They have a lot of talent, especially in their division. They're growing well, and they're well coached well. You know, they got some really good players. So that Nolensville game is going to be a very good, tough one, not to overlook Page, but we definitely keep our eyes on it, and just being realistic, you know we have to play them, you know, and I think this time around we still want to come out with the mentality of attacking, you know, and want to get up and down, and you know, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I was curious because we're more concentrated obviously on the Page game, but with Zoe Pillars, she's big in the paint for Nolensville. Also, I just went blank on their lineup, but I'm not supposed to remember I was on. They come at you from three or four different areas.
Another team, they got an inside presence. They got really good ball handling. They can shoot it well. You know, so we really have to pay attention to the details against them and just try to make it hard and put them in different situations, you know. And we, especially with Zoe, we really want to make sure she get up and down the floor a little bit, you know, and kind of challenge her and play at a fast pace, you know. And I think we got a team where we can play fast against them.
Coach, you mentioned before we went on air a minute ago, it seems like everybody has a tournament during the holidays somewhere. And I think you mentioned your team is going to be somewhere in early January. Tell us about that, where you're going, and maybe how many games you're going to be playing and some of the opposition.
Well, we're going to play in the She Got Game Classic. It's probably a really, really big classic. It's about probably 80 teams, ranging from Southeast Alabama to Texas, Florida, Georgia, you know, the Florida Panhandle. You know, it's really, really, it's a measuring stick for us. I want to test and see where we look at this point of the year and what kind of team we have when we can go out and compete against that kind of talent. So I'm really looking forward to that. We'll get there January 4th through the 6th.
And where is it?
It's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Very good. Are we okay on a brainstorming?
Let's see, Terry. We are fine over, but we'll get
okay.
One. But we'll get one.
All right.
But because the ladies over there, I don't think they're going to be able to play ball tomorrow night. They're eating. I mean, this looks like Thanksgiving. Amelia Ozzie just gave me the look. I'm telling you, she's enjoying that. I knew somebody would get the nachos. I want to see which one. It's Amelia.
Well, it's a big crowd in here, Stormy. I hope they have some French fries for us when we finish the show.
No. Delaney's got all the fries. They're all gone. We're going to run out. You and I are just going to lift.
We'll get whatever we get. That's right. Coach, Miles Thrash visits. Big game with Page tomorrow night. In fact, they're tied for the lead in District 11 AAA, so the winner has at least part of first place. Coach, let's talk about 11 AAA real quick. Your thoughts on, we realize you haven't made it through your first time around with all the teams in the district, but what do you see so far in 11 AAA, and how does that compare maybe to the balance that you all had last year?
Our district and region is very tough. You know, it's where anybody can be beaten, even from the lower teams. You know, it's so talented, so many well-coached teams. You know, and we're not the only young team. You know, that's a lot of other young teams. Franklin's got a very young team, but very talented. You know, Independence is young, but they're talented as well. You know, so you know, Summit is young and they're talented. So any given night, you can be beaten if you're off your game. It's very competitive. I love it. You know, I love that for it to be that way, and you know, it brings the best out in the coaches and the players. So I really love it, and I love the challenge.
There's no gimmies or letdowns on the schedule, is there?
No, it's not. You know.
And if you look at it now, and I think I'm right with I jotted down some notes here, but
that's Terry's
looking at my ring there, Stone. That's pretty good tone, don't you think?
He's working on his DJ skills.
I was looking for Eric Clapton, but I couldn't find it.
I don't know what that was.
I don't either. Coach, Brentwood and Page, as we talked about, y'all are tied, but also Dixon County and Summit only have one loss. As far as the loss column goes, there's four of you tied. So a big game tomorrow night, and the fact that you need to win to at least stay tied with somebody for that first playoff game. Realizing we've got, district tournament, but realizing that's down the road, but it's a big game in that respect.
It's a huge game in that perspective, or as far as, you know, district game and seeding goals. And, you know, I think you can win a game and really position yourself to be well, and you can lose one and really, really drop, you know. So, you know, it's kind of tricky, especially around this part of the year, you know. And I think we're in a great position to kind of do something great for ourselves.
Ravenwood and Summit tomorrow night, I believe. That's an interesting matchup from the girls' standpoint. If Mariska Harris can pull that off, they stay within a one game of first place. But Kara Goodwin's got her team playing pretty well down at Summit as well.
Yeah, they're playing well. They're playing pretty good. They're a very physical team. They like to get up and down, and you know, the Colson girl, she's very good.
Yes.
She's very physical, you know, and she can impose her will on the game. If you know, if you don't pay attention to details on her, she can easily grab 20 and 15.
And that Barley Anderson's not a bad little point guard, too. She played with a lot of poise. She was, I think, a sophomore last year, if my memory serves me correct. But she was learning on the job training. Her skills were accentuated just by being under the pressure all year.
I'm not going to ask you who you're going to pick in that game. I don't know if you'd have an answer or not, so I won't put you on the spot.
You don't want to make either one of those coaches.
Norman, I'll ask you that question.
Oh, no. I'm not making either Kerry nor Mariska. I tell you, if you ask me what tomorrow night, it'll tip off at 6 p.m., that's all I know.
Well, that's true. That's all we really need to know, right? But, Coach, around the Mid-State, what's your thoughts on some of the teams around the area, for instance, in Region 12, I guess it would, District 12, excuse me, that are in Region 6 with you all, and then also looking outside of the Mid-State, out around Sumner County maybe and out that way. Have you noticed anybody yet, or have you had time to look?
Well, I haven't really looked out a little bit. I kind of got on that prep and kind of looked around a little bit. I hadn't really looked at records or seedings or teams or anything, but, you know, we hear and we're listening a few little things out there, you know, especially on the other side of the regions, you know, Cambridge, you know, those guys, Maplewood, McGavick, those teams like that or whatever. So, you know, we're doing a little bit of listening.
Yeah. All right. We're going to let him eat, Stormy, and then bring the girls in here in a second.
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and do the Crystal Kings on the board. And, Crystal, if you want to sing your way back in, that's fine. If not, you just count us down. Let's take 2 minutes. We're going to let Coach Miles Thrash go order some barbecue, eat whatever he wants. Just tell him you're with us, and he'll take good care of it. And let's do this. Terry, let's take 2 minutes. We'll come back. And we're going to have some Lady Bruins to talk to here at Coach's Corner from Stroud's Barbecue. Stormy Mitchell along with Terry Merrill. Terry, we're having a good time at Stroud tonight. I know you've got your barbecue plate ready to go. I've got my barbecue ready to go. But the Lady Bruins, they have already been eating in front of us. I mean, voracious eaters.
Stormy, the drive-through window was packed when we came in, as we mentioned, and these three young ladies here were Lady Brentwood Bruins, or Lady Bruins, I should say. We've got a big crowd in here tonight, 4 days before Christmas Day.
Well, you know what? People are wise. If they're driving home and they don't want to cook, they're going, oh, man, I don't want to deal with the oven tonight. Hey, 595-0200, just give them a call. Come through the drive-through. They'll have the order ready for you. You tell them the sports team crew sent you, and they'll probably wish you good luck. And Merry Christmas.
What do you do when you don't want to deal with the oven?
Well, I come to Stroud's.
Good answer.
And I get the barbecue nachos, exactly what I get. Well, we've got the Lady Bruins here. We got twins, Terry. It took you six tries, but you got them right.
I got it the first time.
But I gave you the clues the whole time.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, we've got Emily and Delaney Trushel. Speak to Delaney.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi, Delaney. And then Amelia Osgood.
Hello.
Okay. So we're on a roll here.
So we're batting 1,000.
And there. Emily, how about Emily? Will she say hello?
Hello.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right, ladies, we're gonna jump right into it. We fed you, and I was kidding about how much ate, but as much energy as y'all burn, trust me, it's not gonna make a difference. You've got Paige coming in tomorrow night. Tell us what you've seen on film so far. Delaney, start with you.
Well, we know that Faith is a really good shooter, and she's really strong and driving and stuff, and they're all long. And they're going to play good defense, and it's just going to be a good game overall.
Sounds good. Amelia, your thoughts?
We know that they play a 1-3-1, and we've been practicing with our scout team a lot this week during that. And then we've been game planning just with them, just based on what we saw on the film.
Okay. Is Emily, your thoughts?
I think it'll be a good matchup. We've been working all week towards them, and I think it's going to be a good game tomorrow.
Sounds good. Now, I've got to ask the tough question. What happened last Friday night? Start Emily.
Yikes.
I fed you now. Yeah. Beat you up.
It was not our best game. We definitely think we could have won that game, and Ravenwood's a good team, don't get me wrong, but I think they're talented. We're really talented, and we just didn't play our Brentwood basketball.
Well, it was how much was it? The crowd, the pressure? I mean, just how, was it symptomatic for the entire team? What was the scenario?
Yeah, there's a lot of eyes on you, and I think it gets to some people, and it's really nerve-wracking knowing that every single thing you do is being seen by like thousands of people. So it's a little scary.
So you're saying that a game like the Battle of the Woods, we'll let Delaney answer this one, is being more magnified, as your sister said. Is everybody more hyped up? I mean, there's more going on. You're you got pep in your step. Is it easy to get a little, maybe too energized for a game like that?
I mean, yeah, we're thinking about it all week. We go one game at a time, but we always know that Ravenwood's at the end of the week. We're always looking forward to it. It's the biggest game. I mean, they're our rivals, and we just want to beat them. But last Friday, people were making shots, like myself, I wasn't. And we just didn't play our best game, and it just didn't come out our way.
What did they do right?
They were very aggressive. I thought Jazz had a great game. She drove that team. I mean, she played great.
She played out of her mind.
Yeah.
She did.
And that just impacted everyone else on the team.
What's it like when you know, and I'm sure with the teams in the county as close in proximity as we are, you know a lot of the players on the other teams. What's that like to go against them? And is it more fun than maybe if you didn't know who they were?
Yeah, we play travel basketball with a lot of them too. And so just getting to know them and then playing against them, it's a lot of fun. It's just friendly competition, I guess. And then after the game, we can be friends and all that. But it's fun to beat them and just compete against each other.
Now, who has the, not opportunity storm, but the dubious distinction of guarding Faith Wilkin tomorrow night?
We think that it would be best for Emily to start out on her. We'll just see throughout the game what's happening, and yeah.
I like that. Who's going to draw Lily?
I'm going to start off on Lily.
Do y'all play against each other before?
Yeah, we play a lot on Sunday nights with our travel team. All ages get to come together, so we get to play against each other, work out with each other, and there's so many kids throughout our county that are on our travel team, so we know a ton of them.
How much fun is that? I mean, seriously, tell our listeners, I mean, to describe what that's like playing against somebody, because y'all are obviously really good players. Y'all know that. You're really good players. But how does it feel to go up against people that are as equal in talent?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun competing. I absolutely love to compete, so it just the atmosphere that our student section brings, our scout team, it's just amazing to go out and compete with all of them watching. And even if it's a friend, sometimes you love beating up on them because then afterwards you got the bragging rights. So.
I like that.
Well, like your brother or sister, I guess, right?
I
want to beat them.
I guess.
Who's the biggest rivalry? Is Ravenwood maybe the biggest rivalry in the county for you all?
I think it's definitely dumb because just in football and basketball and everything, just how both of the schools come out and how there's so much talk about it beforehand. And, you know, Ravenwood comes up in our school all the time, how, like, we just always want to beat Ravenwood in everything, all the sports, just because of their our cross-town rival.
Of the games you played so far this year, how many, do the majority of them, have they so far run man-to-man on defense?
Some of them do man, but then some do 1-2-2, and we think Paige's going to do a 1-3-1, so we just have to be ready for all of that.
1-3-1.
Which team has surprised you?
Kind
of caught you off guard and went, whoa, wait, okay, what?
Kind of Ravenwood a little bit. We knew they were going to do a 1-2-2 press, but I don't know, we kind of freaked out a little bit during the game. And
wait, but he called timeout after 15 seconds.
Yes.
Is that not true? He's shaking his head.
I do. And
Elgar said, wait a minute.
That was part of that. I mean, we knew they were going to do that. We just didn't execute it properly, and it led to turnovers. And we just had to call. He had to call a timeout and calm us down and get us situated.
What was said, because we always used to have an outside mic. We always had an outside mic, but when Dennis King was there, we had to stop doing that. Y'all don't know it. Miles knows exactly what we're talking about. What was said, members? If you're really paying attention. Delaney's getting all the questions here.
He just basically went over, like, we've done this. We know that we knew that they were coming out in this. We just have to calm down, run it properly. We have a good, like, press breaker against that, like, extended 1-2-2, and we knew we could do that. We know that we can attack them, but they just got us under control, and we were too much into our heads with it. We needed to calm down, and that's basically what Coach is trying to tell us in that timeout.
Very good. Let me ask this question now. This is a twins question. I got one for you. Where did you get your talent from? Was your mom or your dad? If they're listening, neither. She said neither.
I think.
Boy,
it's just something that happened,
just
right?
Just think, four or five days before Christmas. Imagine.
Neither of
homeless.
Them.
Twins are homeless.
Are
on
your
the
parents
street.
Listening, by the way?
I hope not. That was Delaney, not me. Well, my dad was pretty athletic growing up, but I don't think either of them really played basketball. I think they just exposed us to basketball at a young age, and we fell in love with it.
Okay, why basketball? Why not volleyball? Because, I mean, you've got Barbara Campbell, the dean, the queen of seriously, I mean, probably the greatest high school volleyball coach in the world. Why basketball?
We both love competing, and we've got, we just thought it was really fun to compete against the other team in basketball, and it was more of a fast-paced game, and I tried volleyball, but I just wasn't that good at it, so.
Understand.
All right, Emily, how old were you all when you started playing basketball? I'm sorry, Emily. Emily, how old were you when you started playing basketball?
We're in, fifth grade, I think, so however old that is, 10 maybe.
All right, Amelia, what about you? Where'd you get your talent from? Because, I mean, you obviously you come out with an attitude. You play with the chip on your shoulder. Do you have an older brother that beats you up, or what? What's the scenario?
So I get my competitiveness from both my parents. I just have a younger sister. But my dad, I always played one-on-one against him when I was little. And when I was really little, he would never let me win. So,
well, of course not.
Right. So I definitely think that. And then, you know, when now I still play him, and I'm never going to let him win. So.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, and then when I lived in New Hampshire, Brewster Academy was a prep school, and they had amazing high school boys talent, and I was always around that, always watching those games. And then in sixth grade, I actually got to play on a boys team up in New Hampshire because just the competition up there wasn't anything like Tennessee, so that really helped grow my game. And
how difficult was that? Were you readily accepted? I mean, the guys weren't just calling you up asking for a date in sixth grade. They're like, wait a minute, here's a girl out here. Well, this girl would wear you out, run them down to court shooting. But your thoughts?
All right. So actually, one day they just invited me to a workout, and then when they saw I could actually compete and play with them, they asked me to join their team, and then I ended up earning a starting role with them, and then I just
I love that.
And, it was a travel team. And so we were just playing teams from other areas in New Hampshire. There wasn't, counties, around here. But
So how long have you been in Tennessee now? How long have you been in Tennessee? You were in New Hampshire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Tennessee's the state. No.
Yeah.
You know, it's right here.
No, no, I was sorry. Since seventh grade. I moved here in the summer going into seventh grade.
Amelia, you alluded to this a minute ago, but how do you compare girls' basketball in New Hampshire with what you have now in Tennessee?
Tennessee girls basketball is crazy. It's absolutely amazing, and it was incredible to move here into this atmosphere and just how much people are committed to the sport up there. Towns are very far apart. You know, not a lot of people play girls basketball, and there's all this school pride. That's a huge thing around here that was not up there. So, and just with travel basketball, I mean, across the state or county, just it's amazing how many people play and how dedicated everyone is.
All right, think about what each of you think about one player. Says has to be a different player that you've played against so far that you were going, oh, wow, this girl can play.
Delaney?
I mean, Jazz, probably. I mean, I've known her from travel and stuff, and now we're on the same team. But that Ravenwood game, she really just surprised me by how much better she's gotten and how much stronger after her last injury and last season.
She looked like she turned it up to a different level the other night. I saw her play. Terry, we saw her play earlier than year, and she wasn't really running the offense the way I kind of thought she should, and I think Coach Harris had a lot to do with that. Mariska, you know, pretty little model, like, and I'm sure she doesn't talk that way in the huddle. But you've got Jazz, Amelia. Got to come up with somebody different.
That's a hard question.
Well, that's what we pay me the big bucks for over here, you know.
Are we asking in our county?
Yeah. Or, no, just tell me. It doesn't have to be in the county, but it would help, you know, anywhere.
Can we go to Emily first?
Yeah. Just right. No, it's good.
When our first game of the season ends with Dontavia, she's an excellent basketball player. I've played with her for so long. I played with her probably my first year of travel, and I've just been playing against her and the Ensworth team and the flight team, and she's just a great basketball player.
What's the difference in travel ball and what we call high school basketball now?
It's a lot more fast-paced, and the exposure is a lot different, so you have more people watching you, and it's like a bigger deal. And then the refs kind of let you play a little more, so it's more aggressive, fast-paced, competitive, and it's overall great, aggressive atmosphere.
So where do we get those referees that actually let y'all play, because
I want to know.
Because I mean, I think the term ticky tack came up a myriad of times the other night. I mean, I thought I was going to have to chain Gar to the desk. He was so mad. So, and being a former official, I was going
ticky tack.
They're just blind. They're just blind. Okay. Let them play. We said, let them play. All right, Amelia, your answer. You thought I was going to skip you, didn't you? Oh no, I got it.
Someone different. Over the summer, we played, you know, travel, and my teammate from travel basketball, we have three guards pretty much out there, and Ayanna Moore from Blackman.
Very good.
And I just love playing with her in travel ball, and it was, again, fun to compete against her because
she's that good. Last year, Terry, was it Riverdale that won the one beat everybody in the girls? Yeah.
Probably.
That
would be a safe answer.
I mean, they all five of them, six of them, no, the starting six all went to D1.
Yeah.
Who are you hearing from that region that's good this year, or have you even looked at?
Yeah, the Hayes sisters at Riverdale. Yeah,
they're still there.
Well, all but one.
So, I mean,
one question. Have y'all played Summit yet, by the way?
Yes, we have.
Okay, tomorrow night, another big game in the district is Ravenwood and Summit. How would you see that game based on the fact you played both of them? Who do you expect? Who would you think would win?
I think that it'll be a very good matchup. I think that the big for Ellie for Summit,
Colton,
that
right.
She'll definitely cause some problems with them. I think it will be a very good matchup just all across with the guard play and everything, honestly.
I was impressed, by the way, speaking of impressed, Taya Lee the other night used her left hand. She kept faking right, going back left. I kept thinking, and I don't know how many points she had. She was double figure. I think she had 14 points. What an improvement she's made, I mean, for Ravenwood.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun seeing her improve through travel basketball, too. And, yeah, I remember, she just committed to Rhodes. So on Twitter, I was like, congrats, like, gave her some hearts. And then she takes it out. She was like, see you Friday night. So, you know, we're just always so competitive.
And that's going to make two Ravenwood Raptors at Rhodes. There's Kiara Downey and going down there. So, Terry, listeners, we need to take a break. Top of the hour. Crystal King's on the board doing a great job. Crystal, let's take one quick minute, do the top of the hour break, and we'll come back. We're not letting the Lady Bruins leave just yet. We may feed them some banana pudding, but we're going to have more fun here on the other side of Coach's Corner from Strauss Barbecue. Terry Merrill, Stormy Mitchell. Terry, we're having a great time. The Lady Bruins, very entertaining, very energetic. And, you know, they didn't give us any predictions about tomorrow night's game. You know, they ran off to get the banana pudding before we could ask them.
Yeah, that's right. We normally ask that question when we wrap up, but they left real quick. So we'll just have to ask Coach that question.
Oh, he'll love that. Oh, Miles is going to love you for that one. Let's ask him about his basketball prowess. Coach, tell us about your – and ask the question off there. One, you're coaching the girls' team. Your assistant coach on the guys' team. You're still playing at a very, very, very – I say a very high level, averaging – 30 points a game. You're married. You've got kids. How do you – wait a minute. Where's the term balance come in? How do you do this? I mean, I get tired just saying all that.
Well, we do – first of all, just did a great job of implementing basketball in my life. You know, it's hard for me to be without it. So I found ways to always be able to get back to it. And it's my safe place. It's my safe haven. You know, when I want to get focused or if I'm going through a challenging point in life, I can always go back to that. And I've always been able to use it as a tool. You know, and it helped me through education. It helped me financially. It just helped me, you know, just always kept me balanced, I feel like. It gave me more balance.
All right, listen, here's a tough question. How much you got left in the tank?
As a player?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, no, wait a minute. Wait, I know what the heart says, and the head says, but what do the legs say? Now, I know, because I'm at 65, I'm like, oh, I'd like to go play on the scout team or something. Oh, yeah, right. Seriously.
It's funny you ask that, because I was shooting with Emily yesterday, and I said, I feel like I'm getting old, guys, you know.
No, you don't know at all. This is the definition of old.
He's got a whole lot more left in the tank than we do, so.
There's no tank left for us.
I got a little bit left in the tank because I still got a competitive fire, you know, and as long as that fire burns, I think the tank stays full.
I've seen videos. Seriously, your quickness and your shooting is phenomenal. How did the NBA not? I mean, I know this is a tough question. How did you get overlooked?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a firm believer in, you know, God has placed me in my thing. Everything has worked out like it should have, you know. And I think that's probably why I'm a head coach, to kind of help other people and instruct them in some of the areas that I probably missed out on. And as far as me as a player, I'm a firm believer. Also, it's probably was time. If it was the way my game is orchestrated and the way I play it right now, if it was today's basketball, I'd probably definitely be playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I came in an era where there was Penny Hardaway. He's 6'7", 6'8", point guard. So it was size mattered a lot more than your skill and your ability. Well, now it's more of your skill set.
And Steph Curry changed that, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
But to all Penny Hardaway does, now I'm a Memphis State graduate, okay? Yeah. I can say is all he knows how to teach to do is flop.
That's what Coach Barnes says.
Ooh, all my Memphis friends, no, I'm not coming to Memphis, so you can't have any of this. You can't get any of this there at Christmas time. I live in Frankie, you have to come up here to whoop me.
Coach, is there more emphasis on, you played, of course, a few years ago, but is there more, it seems to me anyway, especially on the college level, and maybe on the high school level to a certain extent, more emphasis on the three-point shot? I'm old school, and I'll be the first to admit that, but you don't see, the ball movement and so forth, and maybe depending on some a little muscle in the middle, maybe like you used to. How have things changed maybe since you played?
Well,
since you played in college, excuse me.
The three-point shot has revolutionized the game big time, especially when you got guys that can shoot it from anywhere on the floor at a high rate. You know, as you elaborate on Steph Curry, you know, when I came in a generation where you had to be above the rim, and you had to have a big guy. If you didn't have a big guy, you couldn't compete because they would dominate the boards, and it was controlled tempo. It was controlled basketball, where now it's up and down. It's fast-paced, and, you know, which means you're going to get a lot more open threes in transition in the fast-paced game right now. And if you got people that can shoot it, face the floor, and get up and down, you can really position yourself to be successful. So, yeah.
Well, and I think basketball, Terry, is how I say this. I think there's great, and I started using it, parity, because look at Belmont. Belmont goes and beats UCLA, and I love that the panic play they call. By the way, they run that place in 7 games before. Yeah. And if UCLA had done their scouting, they would have known that play. And do you want to describe that play? And is that in your repertoire?
Well, that's not in my repertoire. Coach Burr is amazing, by the way. You know, he's probably one of the greatest coaches in college basketball right now. I definitely put him in my top 5.
Yeah, my same here.
You know, he's an amazing coach, and he's a great teacher of the game. And also, he does a great job of adjusting to the style of play and the way the game is played, no matter what area it is and no matter what his team is. You know, and he does a really, really good job of putting his guys in tremendous ways of being successful. And so they can.
How shocking is it he's got three redshirt freshmen starting, and they go to UCLA and win that ball game?
I'm not shocked with him because, like I said before, he will have them prepared. He does a tremendous job of preparation, and he knows what he wants, and he knows Belmont has a system, and he knows how to implement certain players in that system so they can be successful.
Who's been the dominating force in your life as a coach, as a leader, as a mentor to develop you into the coach that you are today? Because you're obviously, these girls obviously respect you, admire you, and pay attention to you.
Oh, man, it's been so many people, man. I can name so many people from as high school coaches and college coaches, you know, and then just when I got here, you know, I had guys like Joe Simpson. He was over at USBA before it was Franklin Fieldhouse. You know, he gave me an opportunity to start coaching. And I coach kids, you know, a lot. And Greg Shirley's done a really good job of getting me over at Brentwood and giving me that first opportunity. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him. He's a tremendous preparation guy. He prepares and he studies the game. He's well-organized. And Gorva Levy, when I was at BGA, he was the head girls coach, and he brought me along. And it's so many guys have implemented me and helped me very well. And I'm still learning as well, you know. And right now, you know, I communicate with Coach Wild a lot over at Franklin. And him and I have become good buddies, and he knows a lot. So, you know, I'm always picking these guys' brains. So, you know, it's competitive for me, but it's also, you know, I'm learning as well, and I want to soak in everything as a sponge.
I love that you said you get to talk to Coach Wild. The one thing we've noticed, Terry and I have had the pleasure of noticing over the last 10 years at Stroud's here, is the coaching fraternity at Winston County. Is it different here because they get along so well? I mean, there doesn't seem to be animosity. I mean, is that unusual, and how has that been?
It's a bit unusual, especially when I come from a region. Like, if you know, it was so competitive that the coaches were not only coaching against the other school, they were coaching against the other coaches. Right here, I don't think it's so much as the coaches competing against each other. You know, with like we'll share film. You know, I didn't come from that area where that happened a lot. You know, it was like if you asked to share film, they'd be like, no, why? You know, so, you know, it's a very tight-knit, you know, fraternity here. And, you know, it's more geared toward the players and the kids and the focus, emphasis on how you can make this kid be more productive than themselves. So, yeah.
if it wasn't for basketball, what's life after basketball going
to
be like?
Probably just continue to be the best dad in the world, man. I got some amazing kids. I got a great wife. So I just look forward to just spending all that time with them and you know, hopefully see where that goes, you know.
Seems like after every game I see Emily and Delaney holding your babies and chasing them around.
So
do you have to pay them to be great babysitters?
No. It's not hard. I have some great kids, like I said, and, you know, my wife's done a tremendous job, you know, with molding them into being productive people, and they're just great kids, you know. So they love them, and they've seen them since, you know, 4 and 5 months, so they're very familiar with them.
Terry, I got to ask this last question before I let them go. How often do you play on the scout team against your girls or against the guys for Brentwood?
Well, I used to do it against the guys, definitely. I gave the guys a tough time.
Yes, you
know. I know Coach Shirley, he would tell you now how I pissed Jack Thurman off a lot. And a lot of game runners on him. And he'd take it very personal. And I think it made him a better competitor and a better player as well.
He does play with an edge, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays with a tremendous edge, you know. And you know, but as far as the girls go, you know, I think we may have played in the summer, probably did some, like, King of the Hill one-on-one type stuff, and I had to take it to them a little bit. So
show them who's boss, right?
Yeah.
Terry, I'll let you finish up.
Coach, great jobs at Brentwood. Off to a good start this season, and we look forward to the rest of the season, and good luck tomorrow night when you all host Page and a big basketball game and the rest of the way.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me, feeding us, and, hey, listen, we look forward to doing it many more times.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Merry Christmas.
Amen to that. That's Coach Miles Thrash of the Lady Brentwood Bruins. Terry, let's take a quick 1 minute break. We'll come back and we'll finish up our last segment. I don't think we're gonna torture the girls anymore. They've had enough. The Bishop Marathon over here.
I agree.
We'll take 1 minute. This is sports on AM 950. Coach Miles Thrash and his Lady Bruins. They've enjoyed some great barbecue. We had some fun with them. I think, Terry, Delaney and Emily are in trouble. Their parents were listening when I asked the question about where the talent come from, and Delaney shouted, "Deezer." And so I don't know if they're still listening or not, but I guess the Mitchell House is open for Christmas. If you have nobody, if they toss you out, just contact the radio station.
And it sounded like they were surprised that they were listening to them, so maybe they didn't know that they were going to have listeners on.
Oh, no, they were listening, and we have a lot of fun with them, and it's a joy to be able to. I have a daughter who's 24 with a beautiful grandson, and the reason she's tough as she is because I picked on her from day one.
Well, that has something to do with it.
And it makes her tough. Made her tough. But hey,
right.
Ladies did a great job. I hope they got enough to eat. If not, then go back and start, keep reordering.
Yeah, but don't get everything because we got to eat here in a minute.
Right? Our food's put aside, Terry. They saved us some food.
I know. Well, Stormy, let's wrap it up here in a minute. We want to remind everybody again, too, we will not be here for the next 2 weeks as holidays approaches, and we'll be back on, what is it, January 10th, I believe.
January 10th, we'll be back. Our first game will be on the 4th,
yep.
Then the 8th, and then the 11th. But our first broadcast back at Stroud's is going to be January mm-hmm. the 10th at 5 o'clock.
And you got a big broadcast tomorrow night at Brentwood, as we've been talking about. Brentwood hosting Page and a big doubleheader. Airtime tomorrow night
at 6 p.m., and we don't have a pregame. We go straight from Ron Slay and the Slay Ride in the Boom Boom Room right to the broadcast. I mean, we really have there's no room for error, and I mean, we're as the great theologian Steven Tyler of Aerosmith said, we're living on the edge.
Steven Tyler said that. Okay. I like it. Tomorrow, let's Stormy have one game tonight, by the way. You know what? And I apologize for this. I have been saying Ravenwood at Summit tomorrow night. That's not true. They're playing tonight.
I
beg your pardon. And that girls' game is already tipped off.
Well, we wanted to do that game, but when we saw it fell on a Thursday night. Obviously, our commitments are here for every Thursday night.
And that's big on the girls' side, Stormy, because if Ravenwood can pull that off, they'll be at least no more than a game behind either Brentwood or Page, depending on who wins that, and Dixon County. So a big, big game down there tonight at Summit. How would you see that game, by the way?
I haven't seen Summit play. I don't know, but I'm going to say this. We had fun picking on the girls, but I'm going to remind them. I'm going to plant a seed in their brain right now. January the 15th, we will be back. We will be at Brentwood because that's going to be round two of the Battle of the Woods. And I don't know if revenge is on their mind, but the Lady Bruins will be ready to play.
Well, that's awful soon for that rematch, isn't it?
I didn't schedule it.
I
just call it as I see it.
I know. You just read the schedule, and that's what we do. So Ravenwood at Summit tonight and a big double.
Wait, I'll be correct.
What?
February, they changed
now
it?
That would make more sense.
Well, see, what do I know?
Your schedule must be outdated already, Stormy.
Well, the schedule, the lineups, the rosters, I mean, my memory is all discombobulated. Thank
you. Well, the one thing we do know is district tournaments start, what, about the middle of February?
Yes, and we have some great news. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. The district tournament this year will be played at Dixon County.
Yep. So you are going to have to make sure your oil is changed that week. And
gassed up. I'm going to be driving, you know, 100 miles round trip each night.
Well, just go down and hit 840.
That's 100 miles
that's
round trip.
Really? Wow.
It's 50 miles over. The last time I checked, that's 100.
I would not have thought that.
Well, I'm not
doubting your word. Don't
it's 100 miles round trip
all right, whatever.
Per night.
BGA is at FRA tonight, by the way, and Brentwood Academy is in a holiday tournament, Beach Holiday Tournament. I have no idea where that is.
In Beach. B-double-E-C-H.
Beach, okay.
At
Beach
High School. In Hendersonville.
Very good.
And
okay.
By the way, they always play that tournament this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who's on the schedule, but there's usually four pretty rock and roll, rock and solid teams in that tournament.
And that's right. And speaking of high school tournaments, the Middle Tennessee Invitational is coming back to Franklin High School this year after many years of being dormant. And Coach Darren Joins has done a great job to put all that together with John Wild over at Franklin.
Yep.
And that's going to be a dandy. I think that's the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, right? And we're not broadcasting those games. But I do know who will be sitting on the sidelines, not talking, but actually just watching and enjoying.
There's going to be some really good ball games in that tournament,
yes.
Storm. And that's a week where things are sort of down. You know, you're between Christmas and New Year's, and why not? Go over to Franklin High School.
You want to keep
the cause.
You want to keep the teams playing.
Yep.
You want to keep them, everybody in rhythm. That's the worst thing I can remember. We were out of school for back in the day for 3.5 weeks, and they didn't practice or anything.
Right.
Now, we'd sneak in the gym because we all had a key to the back door and we could sneak in. But we got out of rhythm and it got out of shape and too much Christmas candy and blah, blah, blah.
I don't think we ever went to a holiday basketball tournament when I was growing up.
There was no such thing.
No, not very many.
No.
That one was about three, and that was about it. Stormy, another big game tomorrow night on the boys' side, by the way. Tomorrow night, of course, you got a big game, Page of Brentwood, but Dixon County is at Centennial. And on the boys' side, both those teams are tied for first place with Franklin and Brentwood.
Exactly.
So the winner of that game stays in at least a tie for first place. And that's a big ball game right there.
We almost chose that game, but anytime we can have two teams from the county playing, that's our preference.
Mm-hmm.
Also because the matchup tomorrow night between the Lady Patriots and the Lady Bruins is I think it's going to be a phenomenal matchup. We wanted to do that game. But DJ Stacy for Dixon County is about 5'6". Can shoot it from downtown. This kid is so quick. He's one of those type guards that if you're long and lean, you don't want to guard him because he'll run by you. Yep. Dribble drive, going right, going left, dish it, pitch it off. And if you leave him alone in the corner, the kid can wear it out from 3 points.
Stormy and Centennial playing really well right now under Pete Froden. They knocked off the Rebels of Franklin last week because they know to give them their first
61.
Loss. So with that said, and I know you haven't seen Dixon County, that game is at Centennial. How do you see that? I mean, is that a game Centennial? I don't think they'll overlook them because they better not.
Let me tell you something. Dixon County, that they had no seniors on that team last year. They had sophomores, mainly sophomores and juniors. That team was only two baskets away from taking Cane Ridge out in the regionals, and they only shot 27% that ball game.
Yep.
I mean, they just couldn't get it going that night. Cane Ridge was much longer, leaner, faster, quicker, and caused problems. Dixon County, they come in with a chip on their shoulder each night, and John Tiger is the coach over there, and each possession matters. He grinds it out about as well as any coach I've ever seen, and whoever gets them, they're in for a battle.
They're going to have something to say on this AAA tournament time.
Hey, and they're playing at home.
Yeah, they are.
Don't be surprised.
Now, tomorrow night also, as we alluded to with Coach Thrash a moment ago, it'll be Brentwood and Nolensville Saturday night. And you got to give the administration and Coach Wes Lambert and the folks over there, athletic director, whoever, credit because they have played a very tough schedule. pre-district. Brentwood, Franklin, I guess, and then Ravenwood, maybe. I can't remember them all. But Raven, Nolensville has two very good teams in both the boys and girls.
They're going to really, be ready for the district. They really do. The girls' team, very impressive. Matter of fact, I was going to ask Amelia, since she's still sitting here, did they go to overtime when y'all played Nolensville? Did that go to overtime? Y'all beat them by six. Yeah, with last year. That's right. Last year went overtime, and Nolensville won that ball game there.
Yep.
Yeah, she didn't like what I said. That's right.
Yep.
I do remember that. But Nolensville playing in a lower class, smaller class ranking, they are.
Yeah,
that Bladorn kid can flat. He's 6'7", and he's got a lot of offers from a lot of schools.
Absolutely. Don't be deceived. They've lost some close contests to these teams in 11AAA right here in the last 3 weeks.
If I'm not mistaken, numbers. I can't remember the point guard's number, but his name's Zach Campbell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like that Stacy kid for Dixie County.
Yep.
He's quick.
And
he's lightning fast, and he'll beat you off the dribble. He had 12 points in the first quarter against Brentwood at Brentwood, and it was off the dribble drive.
Yep. He's a very diversified athlete. You remember, he was one of those main receivers on the football team over there.
Yes.
And so that's going to be a good basketball team as we move forward. We'll have fun watching them as well. Stormer, thinking back, we got about 5 minutes since this is our last show of the year. I thought, and I didn't really bounce this off of you, but some of the bigger moments, in your opinion, this past calendar year on the high school level, not necessarily here, maybe here, but in the area, you know what I mean?
Let me give you two that came to mind immediately. And one of them was one of the most devastating scenarios I've ever seen. Ravenwood comes in, and they're playing at Franklin, and it was in the district tournament. I think it was the district.
Okay.
It was that Saturday afternoon ball game. And frankly, Ravenwood outplayed them the whole ball game. I got a two. And, of course, here comes Franklin chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Holly Harris got hot. Jillian King got hot. Abby Unger got hot. And they were down like 14. They get it within two. There's 1.5 seconds left on the clock. All Ravenwood has to do is get the ball inbound. They throw it to midcourt. Abby Unger catches it, literally catches it, turns, and just flings it as the buzzer goes off. Nothing but
nylon
bottom. I mean, first of all, Ravenwood goes from complete, utter euphoria to downcast. But Marissa Harris will tell you that ball game, because they lost, defined the run they made to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They said, girls, if we can get over this, we can get over anything. And God love them, they went down and beat a really good Lebanon team in the sub-state, got to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They ran into a buzzsaw Riverdale. Riverdale beat everybody 77-50. Mm-hmm. Literally, that was the score in every game, 77-50.
And weren't they the number 4 team out of the district as a result of the loss to Franklin when they went on to the regional?
Yes.
And made a run.
Yes.
And, of course, Franklin was looking good, but for whatever reason, the win went out of their sails after that, because they didn't make it out of the region.
I'm trying to remember who they lost.
I'd have to look.
They got beat 41-28. It wasn't even close.
But you mentioned Holly Harris, of course, former Lady Rebel down at UAH in Huntsville. By the way, you might have seen that she was a player of the week last week in her conference.
That's right, as a freshman.
Off to a great start.
I got to see her play November the 3rd. I went over to Rebecca. Izzy Franco, who played for Brentwood last year, is on the team for Trevecca. Holly's on the team for University of Alabama, Huntsville. And Trevecca really got a really good ball club, I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy's not starting. Believe me, she's not even playing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a pretty good team, though.
Yeah. And they had two power forwards, probably 6'2"-ish. I can't remember their names didn't call anybody. For Trevecca, girls could turn around and shoot some jump shot. Man, they could wear that cotton and nylon out.
Mm-hmm.
But that one ball game, Ravenwood losing, yet coming back with I would say the two biggest highlights that I can remember, at least in basketball.
Yeah, yeah. Looking ahead into the new year, we got a couple of minutes. What do you see down the road?
If I could do that.
Well, maybe I should ask you, what's your New Year's resolution?
I'm glad you asked.
But maybe that might be a little too close to home. I don't know.
No. I've got nothing to hide because I got a new hip last year. I've lost 22 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm back in shape.
Yeah.
I think I could guard Amelia Osgood now. I'm just that quick. Oh, she just choked on her gum over there. She's studying.
She's
trying to ignore what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My resolution, I'm already in shape, so I don't have to worry about that. My resolution is I started playing the guitar last year. Started a year ago, and I'm up to about 20 songs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 chords. My resolution is to learn 12 more chords and about 40 new songs in the new year.
Stormy, I'm proud of you for your endeavor in the music. That's great. It'll be a great hobby for you when you have to have another hip replacement that came up. But you know, no, really. Well, you know how I love music. Yeah. And I think that's great.
Well,
I really do.
In all seriousness, the one thing, my son asked me to write a song and to sing it and play it and record it, and I did. And his exact words, "Daddy, it's not near as bad as I thought it would be."
That's right. I heard you say that. Now, here's the story behind 8 days a week you were talking
about.
Okay, tell
me.
That's the one you just learned.
I play that. I can wear it out.
Here's the story. One day, Paul McCartney had to go to John Lennon's house. And so he called his driver, whoever, the limousine service or whoever drove for him. So his driver picks him up, and they're on the way to John Lennon's house. And John says, hey, Jim, how's everything going? You doing all right? And the driver looked at McCartney, and he said, man, I've been busy, Paul. I'm working 8 days a week now. That's a true story. From that, Paul McCartney wrote 8 days a week within a week.
I love that. Well, it has nothing to do with work or that, but it's a title.
It's a title. Because the guy, he said, man, I'm working 8 days a week. But, you know, the moral of the story there is, these guys are so brilliant. They hear something like that. It's just a little hook, and they can write a hit record exactly like that. Unbelievable.
Well, that's where they came up with the song Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
That's what Ringo said. That's
been
a hard day's night.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's our theme song to close. All right, you were going to tell me something. I was going to ask you, do we have time for the resolution for you? Yes. And what about the Lion Eyes? You said you're going to give me a trivia on that earlier.
I guess I can say that on the radio. Yeah, if you want me to tell it, I will. I was wondering if I could, but yeah, real quick. Glenn Frey, of course, one of the founding fathers of the Eagles, was riding down the freeway in L.A. with his, quote, dealer, you might say, okay? And the guy's going like 100 miles an hour, passing cars left and right. And Frey said, slow down, man. What's your problem here? Geez, you're going to kill us both. And his driver looked at him and said, Glenn, that's life in the fast lane, buddy. So just like that, Glenn Frey had the idea to write.
Like that?
No, wait. That's another song.
Yeah.
Okay. Life in the fast lane. Okay, right. Lion Eyes, I have the story on that, too. They were in for dinner one night in a fancy restaurant in L.A., and they looked over, and in the booth next to them, Glenn Frey and I think maybe Henley or whoever, but this guy, sort of, you know, 60, maybe 55, 60 years old, was with this lady, maybe 30 years his junior. And
some of us can pull that off.
Glenn Frey, yeah.
Not me.
I won't call any names.
I can't do that anymore.
But Glenn Frey looked at Henley, and he said, look at her. Those are lion eyes if I've ever seen one.
Huh.
And there you go.
Well, that's a great song, and I've learned the chord progression to that, and it's a G, G7, goes to C, goes back to an A, 8 minor, to D, back to a G.
Really? Easy.
That's I'm speaking a different language. All right. I'm not letting you off the hook. What's your New Year's resolution?
Because
you're pretty fast.
Well, I got 2 weeks to figure it out, though. So
no.
Can I tell you?
No. You put me on the spot. I've already given us a lot of thought.
Well, see, but I haven't. You caught me on the spot here.
All right. Then what do you
plan
for the future? Are we going to build a wall?
To stay healthy? we're going to build a wall. Yeah, stay healthy and do the best I can to make it through another year stronger. That's about all I can tell you.
If everybody worked out as hard as you and there would not be obesity problem in the world.
You're very kind, but you know, when you've had a stint, you sort of look at things a little bit differently, but that's another story. But
well,
anyway,
that's a different stint.
Great job this year with your broadcast and football, especially, and now basketball. You and Garth are doing a great job. I look forward to the rest of the season and keep up the good work.
We've got great help at the board. Crystal King, Crystal, you are fabulous. You got us through another program. We appreciate you dearly. We'll have her on Tuesday night. I would love to be able to have her more on the air, but Crystal, if you stay with us on Tuesday night, you'll make our Tuesday nights easier and brighter.
And Stormy, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family, and we'll see you, I guess, in January, if not before.
Well, let's say this. If you don't have a place on Christmas Eve and you want to go to a candlelight service, Church at West Franklin, at 3:30 p.m. We're going to have 3:30 and 5. I will be ushering, greeting people to the door at the 3:30 service. If you want to come punch me out or shake my hand or hug me or whatever you want to do, 3:30, Church at West Franklin, 700 New Highway 96 West. It'll be a very brief yet poignant and very warm service for Christmas. It'll be for the whole family.
Christmas Eve
at 3:30. I'll be there. Come by and enjoy it.
Sounds good, Stormy. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm enjoying it.
Terry did a great job. He is the sports director emeritus. This is Stormy Mitchell for Crystal King. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Thanks for making our 2018 a great year. Look for us on the other side. We'll be back on the air January the 4th with basketball, and we'll tee it up. And for that, until that next time, Merry Christmas to all. And if not, we'll see you on the other side. Good night, and God bless.